welcome to this Friday edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. Dave Ball here along with Crown CEO Chuck Bentley. And tomorrow is the 4th of July, Independence Day. And Chuck, have you got a big day planned for your family?
I do, Dave. We always have an annual parade in our neighborhood where the kids decorate their, you know, their wagons and their bicycles. And some people have golf carts. They get real sophisticated. And we have a blast. Really a lot of fun.
That is great. Did you have traditions on 4th of July growing up?
Absolutely. Of course, my birthday is July the 2nd. And so I love the 4th of July because it's kind of like an extended birthday party for me. And I understand you have a child that it feels the same way.
We do. In fact, my second oldest daughter was born on July 5th. So for many years, she just assumed that all the fireworks were in celebration of her birthday.
Well, of course, that's what little kids think. So we've always had wonderful traditions. We eat watermelon. We do fireworks. We do all those great things. And I can remember thinking that 4th of July was the greatest day of the year. You know, it's just a wonderful time for us.
Well, it certainly is a memorable day here at Crown because it also marks the passing of our co-founder, Larry Burkett.
Well, most of our listeners will remember that Larry Burkett, it was our co-founder and the host of this broadcast for many years. And Larry stood for freedom. He stood for financial freedom. And he taught for many, many years that the borrower is servant to the lender. And the Lord chose to take him home on Independence Day in 2003. And we dearly miss him. But we remember him every year as our founder, who firmly implanted in our minds that we should live to be financially free so that we could fully serve one master. What a great leader he was, Dave. And his teachings still influence millions of people around the world.
Chuck, when did you first get introduced to Crown?
Well, I first got introduced to Crown in 1999, and I had never met Larry Burkett. I did not meet him until the year 2000, and my first personal introduction to him was after I joined the staff. And I remember being taken back by his humility. He was well known. He had sold 12 million books in his lifetime. He was somewhat bigger than life to many people. And when I got to meet him, Dave, I just was struck by his humility. A very dear, humble, godly man.
Well, today we'll remember Larry Burkett and hear a message that he taught back in 1990. And as you'll hear, the information is as relevant today as it was 20 years ago. You're listening to Money Life. We'll be right back.
Having trouble keeping up with the latest job trends? Not sure where you fit into the marketplace of the 21st century? Well, let me introduce you to a revolutionary career assessment system based on the timeless truth of the Bible, Career Direct from Crown Financial Ministries. Career Direct is designed to help you maximize your God-given talents by focusing on the four critical components in career selection: personality, interests, skills, and values. Most other career guidance tools only analyze a couple of those. Thanks to cutting-edge technology, this comprehensive assessment can be completed in about an hour. And since it's online, once you're done, Career Direct will give you a thorough but easy-to-read personalized report. If you'd like to join the over 120,000 people who have already benefited from using Career Direct, go to crown.org. Find out where God intends for you to fit into the workforce of the 21st century by using the Career Direct Complete Guidance System at crown.org.
Welcome back to this special edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. Today we are remembering our late co-founder, Larry Burkett. And Chuck, we have a portion of a message that Larry gave back in 1990.
Well, it was almost 20 years ago, Dave, that Larry taught on the topic of debt and credit and proper borrowing. And it's interesting to note that he was often misunderstood, as people thought Larry said that all debt was bad, you should have no debt, and that debt was sin. That's not what the Bible teaches at all, and that's not what Larry Burkett taught. And coming right up, you're going to hear some wonderful, clear teaching on the proper use of debt and credit.
For God's people, I would say you need to bear in mind the principle taught in Proverbs 22:7, and it still is as true today as it was when Solomon gave it to us, that as the rich rule over the poor, the borrower becomes the lender's slave. Debt means that you owe money to somebody and you are in servitude to them. Classically, when you read in the scripture about somebody being a servant to the lender, he literally was. He was put into debtor's prison and sold out of prison many times. So it means that you're in bondage to somebody. If you owe money to somebody and you are in bondage to them, that is debt. Now, you may have the contract current, but let me tell you that if you're having to rob God of your tithes, if you're having to rob your family of entertainment money and clothing money in order to keep your indebtednesses current, you're in debt. No question about it. Borrowing is another principle altogether. There is nothing unscriptural about borrowing. Although some people teach that it is wrong for a Christian to borrow, I can find nowhere in Scripture where God says it is wrong to borrow. The scriptural guidelines of borrowing, I'm going to try to summarize them into three. There are probably more than that, but I'll try to summarize into three. Number one, don't sign surety on a loan, meaning that when you borrow money, collateralize it, because that's the only sure way to pay it. If you sign for a note without absolute collateral behind it, where the lender is willing to take that if you can't pay and then free you from all further indebtedness, you're under surety. A classic example of that today, borrowing to buy a car. When you borrow to buy a car, you collateralize it with a car. But in addition to that, you sign an agreement with the lender that if ever you can't pay for the car and he takes it back and sells it for less than what you owe on it, you will guarantee him the rest of the money, and that's called surety. Proverbs 17:18 says, a man lacking in sense pledges and becomes surety in the presence of his neighbor. I really like what the Living Bible says. I think it starts out by saying, an idiot signs a note in the presence of another person, and that probably better describes it. Second principle, we're required as believers to pay back whatever we owe. Psalm 37:21 says, the wicked borrows and does not pay back, but the righteous is gracious and gives. So when you borrow money as a believer, you are committed to paying it back. Nothing can get you out of that. Not bankruptcy, not anything else. Even if you go bankrupt, even if you're forced into bankruptcy, and some people are, you still owe the money. Coming out of the bankruptcy, take the most worthy creditor and begin to pay that money back. You still owe the money. The third principle is avoid any indebtedness that extends for a long period of time. Scripturally, you would find in God's Word that no indebtedness extended beyond the seventh year for God's people. At the end of the seventh year, the year of remission, all the indebtedness owed one Jew by another Jew was forgiven. And I believe that is the biblical norm. I don't believe that God intends that we stay in debt for a long period of time. So if I could summarize those principles, number one, don't borrow long term. Number two, when you give your word to pay something back, you've got to pay it back. And number three, don't sign surety. If you can't collateralize a loan where you know you can pay it off, by surrendering the collateral, better to walk away from it and not buy it. And that's not my opinion, that's God's opinion, and that's what a principle is. It's kind of like God saying, this is not a law, you can do whatever you want, but if you want my opinion, this is what I think. Yeah, whenever God says that, we probably need to stop and listen, because not only is that what he thinks, that's what he's going to hold us to. Let's talk a little bit about a plan for paying off debts. What would happen if you find yourself, as many couples will, they find themselves in debt, they understand already that they made a mistake getting there, but then what do you do? Well, take a look at what got you there. Typically, the cause of most debt, particularly with young couples, is too much too soon. They tried in 3 years to accumulate what should logically take them 30 years to accumulate. So you need to stop the too much too soon mentality. Be willing to buy a used car. Be willing to rent an apartment for the first 5 years of your marriage. Not everybody needs to get into a home. In fact, I recommend to any couple, never get into a home the first year of your marriage. Even if you buy a used house, in other words, an existing one. Now, let me tell you, don't ever attempt to build a house the first year of your marriage. It takes about a 10-year marriage to survive building a house. A first-year marriage will never make it, in my opinion. You've got to keep yourself from getting in too deep too soon. You can't borrow beyond your ability to repay. So you need a plan that tells you what you can pay, and that's called a budget. How much money do I have coming in? Where am I going to spend it? And then long-term financial plans, if I'm going to educate my children, how much money will I need? How will I earn that? If I'm going to retire, what age and how much money will I need? I recall what the Lord said in the 14th chapter of the book of Luke. He said, "Who among you, when he wants to build a tower, would not first consider its entire cost? Lest you would run out of funds in the midst of its construction, and then they would laugh at you." So God wants us to be planned people. And the third principle that causes a lot of debt with young couples, dual income house loans. In other words, a house note that is dependent upon two incomes to keep it current. The probability of her getting pregnant, I don't say it's 100%, but it's probably in the high 80s during the first 5 years of their marriage. So you be very, very careful about signing for a mortgage that requires two incomes. For those that have committed to a home that consumes more than 40% of the husband's, what I call net spendable income, that means after tithe and taxes, if it takes more than 40% of his income, they need to sell their home. They're in a home too expensive for them. Even though the wife may be working, unless it's an older couple with all their children grown, you cannot count on that income being there. Basically, what it comes down to is everyone needs to learn to live on the income he has. I've heard many people say, well, I just don't make enough money. I've heard that from couples making $25,000 a year, and I have literally heard it from couples making $125,000 a year. There will never be enough money until you commit yourself to living on what you have.
Well, it's hard to believe those words were spoken in 1990, and Larry sounded extremely prophetic, warning us of some of the problems to come of overspending and living beyond our means, and those problems have certainly come home to roost. You know, Dave, there's some research by a Harvard law professor in a book called The Two Income Trap, and what she found was that the escalating number of bankruptcies filed by men and women jointly in this country were coming as a result of a couple, both working, who had purchased too much home. And she believes that that is the root problem of the financial stress that most couples experience, and it's exactly what Larry was pointing out.
We'll be back with more Money Life right after this.
Are you over 50 and thinking about retirement? Well, if you want to actually experience retirement one day, you have to plan for it. And we have a book that'll tell you how. It's Your Money After the Big 5-0, written by Crown Financial Ministries co-founder Larry Burkett and financial planner Ron Blue. Your Money After the Big 5-0 will equip you with biblical wisdom and practical advice for succeeding in the second half of life, having a fully funded retirement, and being free to serve the Lord. And you'll learn about the importance of finishing strong and leaving a legacy of stewardship to your children and grandchildren. If you're ready to put together a financial plan for a retirement that'll honor God and give you wealth that'll last, get a copy of Your Money After the Big 5-0 right now at crown.org. Your Money After the Big 5-0 by Larry Burkett and Ron Blue is available online at crown.org. That's crown.org.
Welcome back to this special edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. And today we are remembering our late co-founder, Larry Burkett. And Chuck, I think some of our listeners are going to be surprised at what they hear in this next soundbite.
Well, I remember the old American Express commercials, Dave, when it was don't leave home without it. And then
right.
They typed the name of someone who was a card carrier of American Express. I used to think Larry Burkett needed to be on one of those commercials because nobody would have expected that Larry Burkett carried a credit card. And today you're going to hear his very clear, common sense teaching on how to properly use a credit card. It's very surprising to many people that he believed it was okay, that the credit card was not evil, but that's the very same message that we've been teaching here at Money Life. I think they're going to really enjoy Larry's perspective.
I want to talk a little bit about the guidelines for using a personal credit card. Number one, whatever you buy with a credit card, only buy things that are in your budget. In other words, you know you've got the money to pay for them. Number two, pay them off every month, no exception. Number three, make a vow to God that the first month you find yourself unable to pay your credit card off, you will destroy them and never use them again, and credit cards will not then be a problem. It is not credit cards that are the problem, but ignorance that is the problem. Before I go, I'd like to summarize something. The basic financial principles to follow if you have debt problems and you're looking to solve them. Number one principle, liquidate whatever you have to get rid of that debt. Sell your home if it's too expensive. Sell your car if it's too expensive. Sell that camper parked in the backyard or the boat parked in the backyard or whatever you have to do in order to get yourself debt-free. Number two, don't run away from your creditors. Run toward them. Go to your creditors, tell them exactly where you are, and ask for forgiveness if you have to. And that's what God's Word says. Make friends quickly with your opponent at law, while you're with him on the way, in order that your opponent may not deliver you to the judge and the judge to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. So go and contact your creditors. If you need counsel, find yourself a good financial counselor in your area. There are many nonprofit organizations in your community that will help you. One is the Consumer Credit Counseling Service. Point number three, think and plan before acting. Don't buy things on impulse. That's why God put both of you together as a couple. One of you will want to buy on impulse, the other will probably never want to buy. Neither is right, but together you're going to make a better decision. You are a better balance together, so work it out together. Point number four, develop a budget that would allow you to pay off the indebtedness. You need to have a very realistic budget, one that will allow you something for every category of spending. For instance, if I have a couple coming in, and I see in their entertainment and recreation section of their budget no money, I know that's an unrealistic budget. Sure, they could live on it for a month. They may live on it for 3 months, but they will not live on it for the next year, and certainly not for 3 years. If they come in with no money in their clothing account, I know their budget isn't going to work. Unless they happen to be nudist, they are not going to be able to get along with no clothes. So you have to develop a realistic budget. Then once you determine how much you can pay your creditors, don't promise them something unrealistic. Even though you might owe $200 a month, if your budget will only allow you to pay $75, that's all you promise the creditor. They will work with you if you're honest and straightforward, but the first time you can't make your payments, they're going to think you're dishonest. They won't work with you anymore. Finally, let me review the three major errors that lead most couples into debt, and the thing that they have to be very careful about and not repeat the mistake. Number one, don't buy a home too expensive for you. Be sure that the home that you buy is within your budget, no more than 40% of your net spendable income. If you cannot find a home that you can buy within that percentage, and that includes everything now, payments, taxes, utilities, even telephone bills, you would be better off renting for the rest of your life and being debt-free than getting into a home that's going to swamp your budget. The second major error many couples make, automobiles. They end up with an old car that doesn't run very well, and after about 3 years of struggling and getting into debt, generally it's the husband who thinks, I can't stand all this pressure, I think I'll buy a new car. They will think somehow, because it cost them $100 a month to keep their old car running, they're better off paying $250 a month for a new car. You need to be very careful of that. Do not buy a car beyond your budget. And the third is, you have to, in your budget, schedule in money for unscheduled disasters, because they're going to occur. If you have no flexibility in your budget, and that means no additional savings of any kind, something's going to happen that will wipe out your budget. And so you need to have money for predictable expenses, like clothing, but you also need to have some money for unpredictable expenses, like your refrigerator going out or your washing machine breaking down. If you can't do that right now, make that your goal for any additional income that would come into your possession. And don't take the head-in-the-sand approach and ignore the problems, thinking that they'll go away, because they will occur. You need to deal with those problems. And particularly, I would say to any couple looking to get out of debt, you need to solve the debt problem. More debt will not help. One of the simplest economic principles ever written is, if you don't borrow money, you cannot get into debt. And another one is, if you don't borrow any more money, you cannot get further into debt. If you know you have a problem handling credit cards, get rid of them. And if you're going to keep your credit cards, just remember the simple rule. Number one, use it only for items that are in your budget. Number two, pay that credit card off every month. Don't pay interest on it. And number three, if you find you can't do that, destroy your card. Often the question is asked, well, is it better for me to consolidate my loans by borrowing money against my home to pay off these huge credit card bills? Yeah, probably it makes economic sense to do that. But not until you have solved these problems first. You need to be sure that you're on a budget and living on a budget, I would say a minimum of 6 months, before you ever think about consolidating your bills. Because if you consolidate your bills without solving the problems, you're going to end up in the same spot 2 years from now, only worse off, because you'll have the consolidation loan and all of those other little bills back again. You are literally worse off than when you began it.
Well, I could not agree with Larry more. And on this Independence Day, I hope that God speak into your heart about your personal financial independence, and that you will vow to live within your means, as Larry said, to avoid debt and avoid financial bondage. You're listening to Money Life. We'll take a short break and be right back.
Running a successful business in this very challenging economy takes more than hard work and a business degree. It takes time-proven principles of leadership, decision-making, and people skills, and a coach to help you navigate these uncharted waters. Business by the Book brings the brightest minds in history to bear on the most important issues facing your business today. Business by the Book provides a step-by-step outline from God's Word on topics such as hiring and firing, pay increases and promotions, management team selection, and much more. Authored by well-known financial expert Larry Burkett, Business by the Book offers a biblical worldview to businesses of all types. Whether you're a startup or an established firm, Business by the Book will coach you through important decisions and guide you each step of the way from God's Word. Business by the Book is available now at crown.org. That's crown.org. Log on, order your copy, and begin enjoying the satisfaction of running your business by the book today.
Welcome back to this final segment of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. Chuck Crown has a tremendous heritage and a tremendous history, and you now being the third CEO for the last 2 years have had some big shoes to fill. And I'd like you to share just briefly, what's the next phase for Crown? What's the next 20 years look like?
You know, Dave, I am walking in big shoes. I like to say I'm walking in the shoes of giants. Larry Burkett and Howard Dayton were both spiritual giants who founded and launched this ministry and made it what it is today. And as the Bible says, I'm drinking from wells I did not dig and eating from trees that I did not plant. But God has given us a great legacy and a great foundation. And the organization has now gone global, Dave, because God's financial truths are not just limited to Americans, because financial problems are not limited to Americans. But you know, Dave, it's appropriate that this broadcast is played around our Independence Day. Because as I look ahead, I believe that our independence is going to be under attack. Our freedom is going to be under attack. And I don't think our greatest peril is from the outside. I think our greatest peril in the days ahead is going to come from the inside. How the government manages its money and how Christians manage their money. And there's going to be a tremendous amount of turbulence ahead, because I don't think our government is on the right track leading us to economic independence. So there's three things I see in our future, Dave. I see a deep commitment to teach God's Word. I think there's a real hunger for the truth out there. There's a lot of humanism. There's a lot of financial behavioralism being taught. That grows old after a while, and people want more. And we're committed to continue to teach what God said about money, biblical truth. We will not depart from that. Secondly, we have to prepare God's people to live counterculture. I think the culture is going to get worse. I'm not optimistic about what I see happening in the culture in the United States and other parts of the world. And we're going to have to be prepared to be counterculture. I think the scripture teaches us that, and especially in the way we handle money. Larry's message laid out some of the very principles that if we live by those, we are counterculture. And we're going to continue to stay that course. But then we're also going to take this message to the ends of the earth. Dave, God has opened the harvest fields wide for us to go way beyond where even our founders envisioned that we would go. We're now operating in 80 nations. We're translating our materials in over 30 languages, which allows us to reach 75% of the world's population. And we believe God has called us for such a time as this to be His voice in an age of turbulence.
Well, that future looks very exciting, and we'd ask for your prayers as you remember Crown Financial Ministries to be praying for us, not only here in the U.S., but in those 80 countries in which we serve. Well, for Chuck Bentley and the entire staff here at Crown Financial Ministries, have a wonderful 4th of July weekend, and we'll be back with you again on Monday.